What's the date?
August the 7th,
AD 13, St. Hill Special Briefing Course. I'm going to give you a talk today, which isn't the official final rundown of R2H, but which lays down the fundamentals of the process itself. All right. R2H is one of the most satisfying processes that you ever cared to run. It is ARC breaks taken apart by assessment. It has a tendency to succumb to inexpert handling. As long as you give a good thought to the fundamentals of the process, you won't run a cropper. But here is one of the more interesting processes. Contained in this process is different than any process we've ever had in Dianetics and Scientology. Don't think that you understand this process, because it's quite different. This process will run engrams and secondaries. It has tremendous power. And therefore, it very well may be senior to R3R, in spite of the fact that it's an R2. It very well may be senior. It may run more bank than these. And the only thing it won't run is a GPM. And to run a GPM, you have R3M and R3N. Oh, you'd forgotten R3M, huh? Hey, wait till one day you run into a Wildcat GPM, man. You'll thank your stars for R3M if you know how to do it, because that's how you got the patterns in the first place, was R3M. It's how you got 3N. That's the pop-up process. Out of R3M can be born patterns. 3N presupposes that you've got the pattern. You sit there and let the PC pat a cake around and yap around and bark around and give you random items, and you don't see them rocket read, and you don't know which end you're going and standing on, and you let him hunt and punch and keep sitting there at the E-meter. I think the fashion is to sit there at the E-meter as the auditor and just keep shaking your head. No, it didn't rocket read. No, it didn't rocket read, until the PC blows his brain out. Of course, he doesn't need a brain. That's a good thing. But R3M will do a Wildcat GPM, which we mean a GPM for which you have no pattern. And they exist all over the track, and you'll eventually run into one, inevitably. Don't think you can just go on running the pattern GPMs, because that means your PC was never caught in a bind that was an oddball bind, see? And he never got out to Arcturus and fell in that particular area that nobody else fell into, see? I mean, be very fortunate if he was normal and had only the normal implants, but that is never true. He's always got an oddball one. So you've got R3M, and that takes care of your offbeat implants. And the only change that I would make in it today, I wouldn't ask the cross question on a pose the way it's asked. I wouldn't ask who or what would oppose to get your next pair. I would say, what does the next pair consist of? Give me the op term of the third pair. That's the one I would use. I would use something like that. And then who or what would oppose it? Yeah. And I'd use that as phraseology. Now, 3N, that's a lead pipe cinch, but 3N has this liability. On some PCs, if you don't random list, I don't care if they had the item or not, and if rocket red or not, you don't get tone arm action. And if your tone arm action ceases, just up and random list. Just as easy as that. That gets all your locks off. the RI with all of its locks. Nothing has changed that, don't you see? Even though you've got the item, absolutely cantankerous, why, making random list, who or what would oppose it? And he gives you all kinds of things, and that blows the lock, and your TA action may restore. But the big thing that keeps 3N TA action down, of course, is having the wrong date and the wrong pattern. There's nothing like having the wrong date for the GPM and the wrong pattern from the GPM to freeze the tone arm. That's almost certain. Now, if you add to that session a wrong or out ITSA line, return line from the PC to the auditor, you, of course, have got it made. The TA simply goes up to the moon and sticks and won't go anyplace else. You understand that, don't you? You'd be surprised how often you find a wrong date. You're running the Helitrobus implant, so you think, and you go right into the next goal for which you've listed, and then you try to get absolutably, and you can't get a rocket read, and you say, what's happened? TA's up and stuck. I've got this next goal to be a goof. It's obviously the next goal in line, only it isn't here. Shucks, man, you're probably running a bare implant. It's probably shot back on the track, Lord knows where, because the one thing a GPM won't do is properly time. You can duration a GPM, and you can time a GPM, and you can get the date of a GPM almost endlessly. Why? Because its primary basis is lousing up time. Those two opposing items fire against each other, sound like time to the PC, produces a no-change situation, so the GPM floats on the track. And so it's very difficult to time a GPM. So it's just nothing to get the, quote, next GPM in line to run and find out that it isn't at 43 trillion, but at 15 trillion, 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 trillion. Embarrassing. Eventually you go back and start looking for wrong dates on the case, and you finally locate that to be a goof is not the next Helitrobus GPM, but a GPM which exists in the early limbos of nowhere. Now, what's very interesting is an exactly the same looking hill with exactly the same looking parking meters with exactly the same railroad track existed about trillions four ago, which laid in an entirely different pattern, which was far more aberrative than the Helitrobus implants, and which is basic on the Helitrobus implants. And I told you one day the Helitrobus implants are on the screens. They show you in the between lives. No, that isn't. I've been making that mistake for about 10,000 years. Every time I put this thing up on the screen, why, it's the wrong implant. They're an early implant, and they had a hill there, unfortunately, located in the same geographical area as the Helitrobus implants. And it looks to the PC just like the Helitrobus implants, only it isn't. You've got a date error then, consisting of trillions four, almost trillions four. You see, trillion, 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 your date error. Of course, your TA action will cease. So there's a lot of tricks in running GPMs. GPMs are what require special techniques. They require special techniques. Now, nothing else that I know of requires a special technique, and you might even do away with R3R. This is a very adventurous statement. If you had a perfect R2H. R2H has the potentiality of running engrams and secondaries on the whole track with greater avidity and speed than R3R. Because it takes apart the restimulated and bypassed charges which exist in the secondaries and engrams. It doesn't run the engrams so much as it takes out of it all the bypassed charges and causes, of course, that particular segment to snap back onto track. You've probably not looked at it this way, but you're actually not trying to erase somebody's time track. In the between lives area, they apparently are trying to wipe out your time track so you don't know who you are. But we're actually not doing that. You're not, in actual fact, working with the time track to knock out all the pictures everybody has. That is really not what you're doing. You're trying to take out of the time track the things which prevent a person from having his pictures. And after that, you can restore to him the right to have pictures or not to have pictures, as the case may be. You're trying to pull his knowingness high enough up to a point where the individual does not have to have pictures to tell him who he is. Now, you got that? Your first target is not to erase somebody's time track. You're liable to think that because that is what a between life screen specializes in. It allegedly is trying to invalidate a person's time track to a point where he doesn't have any and therefore can't remember who he is because he has no picture reference. I spoke to you this way about it yesterday. Well, you're really not then trying to erase the whole time track, but there are certain unwanted pictures that he couldn't handle and which he became the effect of. If you take the charge off of those pictures, then pictures become available to the person. And he can have them or not have them, as the case may be. Now, the pictures which mostly louse up things are the GPMs. That's the real mess up. But because a between lives implant has a target of invalidating all of your pictures and therefore wiping out your identity and memory, because of this, you might think, and I'm sure many people who are upset about auditing might think, that you're trying to do this. You realize a Scientologist may be looked at with askance by certain areas and interests and so forth as though they were between lives implanters, because they get some whiff of the idea that you're going to erase the whole time track. And they might think we're between lives implanters. I don't know what would happen if we... I was toying with this morning. Let me give you a little bit of a laugh out of it. Side of this. I was thinking of outer space tactics and strategy. This is an interesting and vast subject, and I have come to the conclusion that the missing factor in it is communication, and that lack of communication is what causes all the trouble. All right, that beside the point, that makes then very intricate and complicated tactics and strategies. But I wondered if impishly you couldn't rise above this factor with a few curves of one kind or another by entering societies from within where you did have communication, you see? Well, how would you go about it then? I was sitting there idly speculating about it over my scrambled eggs, and I suddenly realized, still eating, I mean, I'm decadent. I suddenly realized that these between lives blokes, the Markabians, wouldn't know what to do if they came down here and saw that they had a Markab headquarters here. He set up the headquarters for them. And he put up their flag, you see, and so forth. And look at the news story. I must have brought this news story on us or had telepathically realized that somebody was going to call on us. The Mirror Group was calling on us today. So many advances have happened in Dianetics and Scientology in the last 3 or 4 years that they had better be covered. We agree with them perfectly, but how they will cover them, God knows. That's one of the biggest newspaper chains in England, but they also are the author of the Death Lesson stories. And so we regard them with some suspicion. But there is this pressure all the time of... We're putting out fantastic. The stories involved here would make what's turned out in university labs and the psychiatric blokes and this sort of thing. Stagger them, man, you see? I mean, there's more story in any given week in Dianetics and Scientology, you see, than these birds. And the pressure of this much data inevitably will produce some sort of a reaction on the surroundings, you see? And you find these guys, sooner or later, going to realize they missed the boat. Instead of writing about that cult, they might write about those people. And you'll see them swinging around to this sooner or later. But look at the Markabian press. Here in this prison, in spite of all that has been done to them, they're still loyal to their mother country. Ha, ha, ha. How do you know that's touching? You know, that's a tearjerker. Yeah, I sort of sat back and I said, well, Ronnie, you're a dangerous man. But the reaction of Earth population, all of which has come down through that channel to these symbols, might be something approaching the most fabulous thing you ever saw. It might be other frothings. It might produce widespread riot and chaos. I don't know, but it was an interesting thought anyway, as I think you'll agree. Not that we're going to do anything desperate like that, at least this afternoon. The point I'm making here, is that if you tell a PC that you're going to erase his whole time track, why, he's liable to go into a sort of an aniten propitiate, because this happens to him every 60 or 70 years. To such a degree, you see, that he doesn't quite know whether he's coming or going. But you tell him you're going to give him back his pictures, and you might entirely change your identity as far as he's concerned as an auditor. See, he's got certain pictures that make it impossible for him to get back his pictures. That's the condition he's in. And you're, in actual fact, trying to return him to case level 2. And oddly enough, you have to move him to case level 2 before you can move him to case level 1. That's what's very interesting about it. And your PC, in spite of all your erasure of pictures, is going to wind up with pictures. Man, he's going to have pictures. He takes them all the time. They just aren't available. Some of these pictures aren't too pleasant. Some of them aren't too unpleasant. But the point is, there is no dearth of pictures. What's the matter with him is that he obsessively makes pictures of everything without discrimination. He's something like a garbage collector, see? Any old picture is good enough, you see? But he gets some of these pictures, like GPMs and jails and things like this, and between lives implants, and they then hit him every time he tries to see his own pictures. You see, and he sees these, and of course they're his pictures too, but he never realizes this. They're so hostile to his future and his mental health that he disowns them. I've just gone through a phase of disowning my whole track out of disgust, you know. Had a beautiful case resurgence for about, oh, I don't know, must have lasted for an hour or two. And of course, collapsed. But what I did was go through the consideration of track. And track became artificially, you see, the artificiality of it became less and less real until the track itself disappeared. Now the track is appearing with total reality, you see, and good knowingness. And it's an interesting through the knothole experience. You know, I wasn't. I don't know who the hell I am. It at least got up to the point where you didn't need a picture to tell you who you are. You got brave enough to say, well, I just don't know. And from that point on, you start getting your own track back. That's an interesting point, that this occurs. And perhaps you haven't given enough attention to this, as nobody's trying to wipe out your pictures. You're just trying to pick out those pictures which bar all other pictures and which the individual considers hostile. And when you've done that, why, the individual gets back all of his pictures. It's very simple. The hostile ones can no longer bite. Now you've got a case level 2. Now you go after the mechanism which makes it automatic for him to make pictures, and you put this back on power of choice. And of course you've got an OT. And that's the whole scope of processing, where it has to do with pictures and bank and knowingness and so forth. They're all wrapped up in that. Well, now you see, instead of erasing pictures, you could go at this another way. You could bring up the individual's confront with regard to pictures to such an extent that he could even face the hostile ones. Ah, that's an interesting approach too, isn't it? Now, this is comparable to the old exteriorization approach. Instead of erasing the guy's bank, pull him out of it. That's the old exteriorization approach. Well, this is a similar approach, but it's different than either of those approaches. You see, erasing the pictures and pulling the guy out of the pictures, we're pushing the guy up so that he can disentangle and confront his pictures. In other words, we're getting him so he can understand his pictures. And this one works too, which actually gives you a third route to processing. So R2H is not just a method of erasing pictures or getting the PC away from his pictures. It actually raises the individual's potential in recognizing and owning his pictures and making the pictures better. Now, well-run R2H can make the pictures much better, much prettier, much solider, without them being obsessively solid so that they intimidate the PC with their tremendous solidity. Now, that's the important point of it. So with R2H, you actually are embarked on another philosophy. You understand this grip on it. It is its own philosophy. It doesn't make the other philosophies invalid, but it embarks on its own private, personal railroad car and says this is a whole philosophy in itself. Of course, it uses the elements and mechanics and other things. But the individualism of R2H is based on this. There have been some new discoveries about this, and they've been put to work in R2H. And let me show you what these things look like. Here is a Thetan. Now, your first level of life and beingness, your first look at life and beingness, what life and beingness are, exist as potentials or abilities, not as things. And those potentials and abilities consist of A, R, and C. You know all about A, R, and C. Affinity, reality, and communication. But think of those things as potentials. Not affinity for anything special, but the potential of having affinity. In other words, you could say, what is the potential of the A, R, and C of an individual? What is his potential? You'd be asking the same thing as, how alive is he? The more alive he is, the more ARC he's capable of. The less alive he is, the less ARC he's capable of. That's interesting, isn't it? What do you think of a philosophy that thinks that man is mud? Well, let's take a look at this. ARC, and probably this could be drawn in different ways. ARC goes out to, and remember that communication with other beings is through matter, energy, space, time, and so forth. See? This ARC potential, or ARC with what? What is this ARC with? Communication with, reality about, affinity for. See, what are these things connected up with? Well, if there were just other beings, it'd be a telepathic ball, and that would be that. But when you talk to Joe, you're actually talking through mess to Joe. No matter how you're communicating with Joe, unless your ARC is so much on the ball that you can telepathically communicate. And by the way, your ARC doesn't have to be very high to telepathically communicate. That is quite interesting. Man is at large below this level of telepathy, but it is paid attention to in some civilizations to the degree that, they set up, you've got a three-way communication. You've got conference with other departments or ship commanders or something, no matter whether it's a business or a unit of some kind or another. And you set up a box. You set up a box, and the Thetan briefs them through a box, which telepathically retranslates his thought onto an endless banner and puts it out with sound also. In other words, telepathy is sufficiently strong that it can be mechanically reconverted. A device no more difficult than the vocotyper that the IBM keeps trying to make. You talk to the typewriter and it types, you know? Well, this is a telepathic vocotyper. I'm not talking out of popular mechanics. In other words, the telepathy factor is strong. It is something you have to deal with. They have anti-noise campaigns in New York City Well, I imagine in a boarding house, a bunch of Thetans would have an anti-telepathic campaign, you know? But can you stop shouting telepathically all night, you know? Telepathy is a very heavy, hard, hitting force. Some of you will be going through an implant or something like that, and you'll pick up off the track what you think is your postulate, and then suddenly realize it isn't your postulate, but somebody thought it in your vicinity. You sometimes can pick up the thoughts or fear of some Thetan down the line who is also being implanted. This stuff will sometimes kick back into an implant. It's quite valid. There's nothing to worry about with that. This isn't any lecture about telepathy. It gives you an idea of how low ARC can go without disappearing, and how high it can also go, because the birds I'm talking about that use telepathy for communication aren't even, by your chart estimates, in very good shape. See, they've had the Helitrobus implants too, but they just aren't getting their lives wiped out every 60 or 70 years. See? That factor is missing. The only factor of difference between your case and theirs. See, that's the sole difference. Every once in a while, while their empire gets wiped out and somebody implants the lot, but that's life. So here's your ARC. And your ARC can go up then to pretty high levels. And it depends, below a certain level, on matter, energy, space, and time as its communication media. ARC gets very important after you start dropping away from telepathic communication. Becomes very important because you see it so much present before then that nobody ever thinks of it. Nobody ever thinks of it at all. You're just not mad at people, and reality is terrific, and you know all about it, and communication is good, and your understanding and knowingness are pretty well up. So it wouldn't be something that you worried about at all. But the second you start introducing messed into communication lines, living with great dependence upon this universe, in this universe, then ARC become very important and become the measure of life. Of course, they're there all the way up. But you don't measure them as going out. In fact, I believe nobody would believe they could. Livingness. Degree of livingness is measured by ARC. How is alive is somebody? It's how much ARC is he capable of. That is the test. Now, when you get over here, let's just rule out telepathy. I'm saying it exists, but it isn't necessary to our proposition at all, and it's a highly individual and odd bit of business. See? That transcends matter, energy, space, and time, and goes straight to other beings. So we would have Thetans as a thing to be in ARC with. And then we would have matter, energy, space, time, form, location. Now, you could add to this, you could break these down further, but they are the principal things beyond which there is no breakdown. Possibly in importance, it ought to be L and then F. Now, the ARC that this individual has expresses the degree that he can be cause over these. The potential of ARC of the individual gives you the degree that he can be at cause over Thetans, matter, energy, space, time, form, and location. The less life he has, the less he is. Now, as the Thetan gets more and more solid, he is less and less capable of ARC. That's fairly obvious, isn't it?
Why?
It isn't that his solidity prevents him from communicating or feeling affinity or that sort of thing, but it's simply an indicator that he must have broken ARC with matter, energy, space, time, form, and location, or it wouldn't be piled on him without his choice. That's an interesting point, isn't it? He must have had ARC breaks then with matter, energy, space, time, form, and location. But how could he have ARC breaks with matter, energy, space, time, form, and location without having ARC breaks with other statements? Well, I think it's probable and very possible that he could have. But the truth of the matter is, it was having ARC breaks with other thetans that caused him to start to ARC break with matter, energy, space, time, form, and location. Doesn't necessarily follow that way, but normally that would be it. So, as an individual rises up the line, he then rises back toward direct communication, direct affinity, direct reality on other beings. The less ARC he has, the more matter, energy, space, time, form, and location he has to go through in order to communicate to other beings. See, you look a little bit dense on that one. Let me give you an idiot's line. Here you have Bill, and here you have Space, and here you have Joe. Now, Joe, in order to hear Bill, has to register an airwave which is generated by Bill. So Bill generates an airwave vibrations that are received by Joe and are reinterpreted into ARC. So ARC here are converted, and then are converted from matter, energy, space, time to ARC. And you, in actual fact, have done this cycle. This thetan here communicates to those thetans there by going up here, here, see? And actually, they communicate back similarly. See? Get the idea. Once you drop away from telepathy, you enter mist into the line. And ARC then becomes subordinate to MEST. And you eventually get a bunch of knuckleheads implanted up to their ears. Did you ever realize Einstein went through the between lives area and he kicked the bucket? Served him right. I wonder if he traveled faster than constant. These brutal, gruesome thoughts I have once more. Now, look at this. Man is not mud, but a fellow who isn't alive at all would think only mudly. He'd have very muddy thinking. He'd come to mud-like conclusions. Therefore, his mental sciences are very mud-like. There are no mental studies which admit today, that are currently being taught, that admit of the existence of a being. They only admit of the existence of a biological combinations of mud resulting in a very muddy result. Psychology textbooks today begin by very carefully defining the fact they do not know what a psyche is, and they do not even know if one exists, and they're pretty sure it doesn't. But we will now give you the parts of the brain. What are you dealing with there? You're dealing with somebody who is so far away from other beings that he is no longer talking through MEST. He's talking to MEST. Ding, 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 here comes the wagon. Every once in a while, you see some little, poor little kid that's been knocked in the dome too much, and he'll be out there beating his red wagon. And you yourself, in your dippier moments, will start talking to something on the mantelpiece. And when you're particularly foggy in the morning and haven't been awakened, you're very often prone to curse your shoes. Well, you may be doing it on another harmonic, because a thetan is always capable of investing things with life. And you're probably doing it because you've alived the shoe. You see, you're perfectly capable of mocking up a living being and making it talk and walk totally independent of you. Perfectly capable of doing that. You used to do it as OTs all the time. So you're capable of investing matter, energy, space, and time, and so forth, with life. And then other determining it, saying it is no longer I, and having it walk around and talk. Now, that's a potential that's talked about in Dianetics' Evolution of a Science, that speaks of Throgmagog. You can always invest something with life, such as a shoe. And you can always pretend that a shoe is alive. But how would you like to be in the kind of a condition where you thought another living being was no more capable of life than a shoe? Let's reverse that, see? Let's get a total reverse on the situation. Let's look at a living being and say that this living being has no life in it. Now, you got some kind of an estimate of how far downscale you can go and somebody can still sit there and eat breakfast. You got the idea? It's pretty far south. Matter, energy, space, time, form, and location. ARC breaks with caused the dwindling spiral of. ARC breaks with other beings, matter, energy, space, time, form, and location bring about a deterioration of one's ARC. It never really deteriorates. One just believes it has deteriorated, you see. In other words, you can have an ARC break with MEST. You can have an ARC break with form. You can have an ARC break with locations. It's very common for an animal to have ARC break with locations. A place where an animal has been hurt will be avoided by that animal very carefully. Now, what, in essence, does this forecast? That is the basic theory behind R2H. It forecasts that by clearing up a person's ARC breaks, one then returns to him his ARC potential. Clean up his ARC breaks with matter, he feels better about matter. Clean up his ARC breaks with energy, he'll feel better about energy. Clean up his ARC breaks with space, he feels better about space. Clean up his ARC breaks with time, and he will feel better about time. Clean up his ARC breaks with form, and he will feel better about form. Clean up his ARC breaks with location, he feels better about location. Clean up his ARC breaks with other beings, and he feels better about other beings. And all the way up the line, of course, his bank, that reservoir of ARC breaks, is getting plainer and plainer to him and more confrontable to him. Because all of his ARC breaks in terms of pictures have responded as the reactive mind ARC breaks. Because the reactive mind is made, after all, out of images of other beings, matter, energy, space, time, form, and location. It's as easy as that. And that consists of the reactive mind. So by cleaning up his ARC breaks with these things, you tend to clean up his ARC breaks with the things he's got pictures of in the reactive mind that he can't confront, and his reactive mind opens up and he can tolerate it and confront it. So R2H considers and conceives that the reactive mind is a reservoir of ARC breaks. That is the basic assumption on which that process hops off. We know that the reactive mind contains images or beliefs in other beings, and with certainly their images in terms of thought, don't you see? We might, by the way, have put a T under other beings for thought, you see, because thought or significance could be included in that. But by just putting up other beings, you also have the reflections of other beings, and so that you can omit that. But you know that the reactive mind consists of images of other beings, thoughts of other beings, thoughts of oneself, and so forth, plus matter. If you don't believe it's composed of matter, someday run into a ridge. Energy. You hear and see the energy flitter flattering around in the reactive mind all the time, and that's what registers on the tonearm. Space. Every once in a while, a guy can't see a thing, and then he suddenly realizes he's looking across too much space to see it. In a picture, it always has space, and lack of space is the main thing that's upsetting in the reactive bank. You can't get away from the lousy thing, see? You can't put space between it and you. Space is the cure for no confront, see? And time, good heavens, the thing is not time. If there's any time in the bank, that is remarkable. What you have in the bank is an absence of time, an apparent absence in time in the presence of a totality of time. You've got a nothing where a something is and a something where a nothing is. And that's what makes it reactive. Reactive. Remember, that's what the thing is called. That means instantaneous response, regardless of what time the response is laid in. A equals A equals A also equals 29 years ago equals a billion years ago equals 8 trillion years ago. Before you start inspecting it, they're all the same time. So you got this terrific time identification. You also have space, energy, and matter identifications. Now, as far as form is concerned, that's not a terribly upgraded thing. It comes into the field of aesthetics and arts more than anything else. Some people like Picasso, some people don't. Some people like blondes, some people like brunettes. Form, aesthetics, tastes, that sort of thing. And the reactive bank, the things least confronted in the reactive bank are those forms which one has disliked most. And so, of course, he's got a wonderful close-up stockpile of forms he detests. We're not talking about income tax forms. We're talking about pleasanter things, like girls and things. Anyhow, as far as location is concerned, if there's anything that is A equals A equals A in the reactive mind, it's location. When I first collided with this early Heliotropos, I was absolutely sure that it was in exactly the same location. But here, trillions of trillions of trillions of years before, some knucklehead had begun this thing, and then somebody had walked back in the vicinity and said, well, this is what you do when you were here, and proceeded to give the Heliotropos implants. I was sure that was the case. In fact, I only know now intellectually that it's not the same place, because it's the same type of scenery. Given a little similarity of form, and boy, those locations were identical. But what are you doing right now, packing around in your bank, in your head, in your ridges, planets which are light years away? It looks to me like that's a very interesting identification of location. In an auditing session, this comes off all the time. It happens so often that you don't even think about it. This guy is sitting there. Let us say he's running something, and it's something that happened in Australia. It doesn't seem either peculiar to the auditor of the PC that it is being run out in England. There's a 12,500-mile error in location. And you very often see this kind of an odd thing happen. You get the thing all run, and it goes spang and stays there. It goes to its proper location. It seems to disappear or something. Of course, by moving in time, you can make the thing disappear too. But I've had this odd experience of not being able to run certain engrams because they were too well fixed in their proper location. You practically have to go to Arizona to run it. That's where it happened. You can spot the facsimile, but it's over in Arizona. Well, it couldn't be very aberrative if it fixes its location that smartly. That's the right location. Well, now, if everything was on its proper time span, you'd have to move all over time in order to connect with anything, wouldn't you? So the thing must be in its improper time span if you can reach it in present time without yourself moving back trillions of years in time. Well, there's something wrong in the reactive mind with other beingness and other thoughts, with matter, with energy, with space, with time, with form and location, and everything that is a matter is they're identified one with another. Two times are identified, two forms are identified, two locations are identified. Two spaces are identified, two energies identified, two masses identified. You can also go the other way into what you call a disassociate. And you as Scientologists run less into this thing of disassociation. Someday you may read some Sigmund Freud and you'll hear all about disassociation because he specialized in this thing, disassociation. It's not anything we've ever talked about to amount to anything, but two things which are the same thing, approximately, look entirely different. In other words, two pictures of the same person at two different locations look like two different people. See? That is an inverse of identification. Things that should be seen to be similar are seen to be madly different. You don't pay much attention to this because after a person's done that, he's more or less flipped his lid. But you're now going to run into disassociation, and that's why I'm making a little side comment on it here as we go, because you're going to run into it if you really put in the itza line. And you're going to wonder what's happening. Because the PC doesn't at first answer the auditing question. You say, have you had any gains in this session? And he says, the floor dropped out, and then I had a couple of drinks, and 3 or 4 years ago, I knew a girl named Mabel. And now, in putting in your itza line, by the rules of the game, you shouldn't interrupt him. He may sit there, but he's not finished with that communication. And he'll keep on going and going and going, and you'll see all these disassociates come up. And then all of a sudden, if you let him go on, he will eventually come up and tell you a gain he has made for the session. But you're running such violent stuff, you see, on the whole track, that as he passes through the stuff, he's actually going through the session trying to answer your question. And these things are getting in his road, so he says them to you. They tend to as is, and after that he can finally reach the material necessary to answer your question. Got the idea? But now, if you put in an itza line all the way across the line, you're going to see disassociation, so you better know what it is. It's simply the two things which should be seen to be similar are seen to be madly different. It's the inverse of identification. It's you ought to see a similarity between the question and the answer. If you had a gain for the session, yes, I've had a gain for the session. I can see better. You get that? Now, that's a similarity, you see. There's the same communication line, and the answer compares to the question that was asked. You get a disassociation this way. If you had a gain in the session, I had a beer 3 years ago. That's a disassociate. Well, it isn't that the PC isn't answering your question. He's getting around to it. And if you're very good at your itza line, he will eventually wander torturously through and eventually will come up and say, yes, I don't feel like I'll be so thirsty all the time. Of course, that is almost a sequitur statement. He will have uttered other statements less sequitur. But as you search the thing out, you would see that he was coming closer and closer to answering your question as he talked. Try that sometime on a full itza line, and you will be very, very, very pleased with the result. The guy was answering your auditing question. If you let him go on talking, he eventually would have answered your auditing question. He only didn't answer your auditing question if you cut him off at the point he was disassociating. Then he didn't seem to answer your auditing question. But you'll notice his eye is no longer on you again. You'll notice he's still groping. You'll notice he's still fumbling with the bank when he, as he tells you these things. You'll see this. Well, that's a disassociate. All right. Guy comes up and slugs his mother, thinking that she is about to rob him. Well, he's associated his mother with a burglar. Well, you'd say he's nuts. Well, yeah, true enough. There are people who are nuts. But that is what that is. So identification isn't the only crime. There's one beyond identification. That's two things that you ought to recognize the similarity between, you see, as vastly different. So this whole thing here goes on to an inversion. What you get is a restimulator factor. We knew a girl who had pink hair. See? We knew a girl who had pink hair. So therefore, girls who have pink hair aren't to be trusted. Therefore, nothing pink must be trusted. And we know a fella named Pink who brushes his teeth, so we'd better not brush our teeth anymore. You follow that torturous line of logic? Well, that is ARC as it goes down scale. Doesn't just stay as ARC, it goes into an inverse because it gets too many things identified and then it gets things disassociated in some kind of an effort to see some separateness in existence and eventually starts going into a twisteroo so that you will have people who consider good communication shooting people. High level of communication. I had a husky one time that knew what communication was. Chewing people up and being bitten. There he was. He was quite a dog. It was very funny. I'll never forget that dog. He's the toughest dog I think I ever saw. I walk into the yard after being gone for a long time, you know, a year or two, something like that. And this dog would suddenly see this, quote, stranger. And he would bare his teeth. He was one of these fantastic Malamutes. He buries, he'd come tearing across the yard, fangs just shooting out of his face in all directions. I'd pick him up on either side of his jowl and, using his lunge, throw him 25 feet. You practice up a little bit with police dogs and things, you'd get so, you do, it's like dog judo, you know? And he'd go through the air, and he'd land. He'd get up. Oh, Ron. He knew what communication was. So there's all kinds of wild levels of communication. You get people who tell you what pleasure is. They describe agony. It's very funny. So you get these various inversions. ARC then doesn't just decline. It goes and inverts again, and inverts again. And you get a hotchpotch down at the end that nobody can make anything out of. Go down and listen to them in the spin bins, and you'll see how far ARC can go, because those people are still alive. They're still alive. How far can ARC go south? All the way. There is no bottom at which one dies. But there's some mighty peculiar things happen on the way down. Beingnesses can die, but the individual... No. Forms can die, but the person actually, no. Memory can die, but not the person who is capable of remembering, you see. Not the person who is, you see. He can forget everything. And he's still in that kind of a state. Now, ARC never ceases. So you have no bottom, to the process. There are no bottom limits to the process. There's some method of communicating all the way down. It gets down into weird versions of reach and withdraw, as I just described one to you. With the dog. That's a kind of a reach and withdraw. Want to make him happy all day Sunday, why chew him up all Saturday night, you know? Big case game. This is your tone scale. As people go up scale, they go up through anger and so forth. It's very funny. I remember one poor cycle in New York. Auditors would process her, get her up to anger, and she'd scold her family, and they'd promptly put her in restraints and put her back in the hospital. And then she'd get out, and then the auditors would process her, and she'd get back up to a point where she'd scold her family and put her back, and this nonsense just kept going. They'd never let her get up through anger. Of course, they'd been knocking her in for a long time, and she just never was able to say that she was mad about it. He was never able to do that, so she never recovered. Now, here's a case, then, of a process which, if you can get any C in at all and get an improvement of the C or an improvement of the R or an improvement of the A, you get an improvement of the C, an improvement of the R, an improvement of the A, an improvement of the C, an improvement of the R, an improvement of the A. You get the idea? And you just keep raising this triangle, all three corners of this triangle, up, 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 by the process of running ARC brakes. Now, the basic limit of the process is the communication of the auditing command itself. And you'll be surprised how many interpretations there are of an ARC brake. And one might make a criticism of the process by saying, well, look, it has such a specialized command. Recall an ARC brake. Only a Scientologist would know what that meant. Well, actually, you're really not asking for an upset. You're not asking for a worry. You're not asking for a time he was concerned. You're not asking for this. You're not asking for that. You're asking for an ARC brake. I don't think it'd take you any time to describe to the PC what an ARC break was, and he'd eventually settle in his own head what an ARC break was. He'd be better off if he could understand the communication of this phrase ARC break, but this is one of the weak spots of the process. But it's not a very weak spot. It's very funny how fast this communicates. You say life is composed of affinity, reality, and communication. When one of these breaks down, a person doesn't feel so good about something. Now, an ARC break is a time when affinity, reality, or communication have been cut down on a person, have been reduced. That's what an ARC break is. It may take the individual 3 or 4 days to digest the definition. But the funny part of it is, having digested the definition, he will have made a case game. I don't really consider the liability. Now, that process isn't going to be used very broadly and shotgunish. You can't use it in a co-audit. It's too particularized. So there's the anatomy, however, of what you were trying to do with the process. You were trying to increase the individual's affinity and reality and communication with other thetans and thought, matter, energy, space-time, form, and location by picking up those points in time when the individual has suffered a cut a reduction of communication, has suffered from a lowering of reality, or from a reduction of affinity level. Period. You don't know, care what he had an ARC break with, because he has to come up quite a ways to recognize ARC breaks with MEST. This is a long way north. Good, clean-cut ARC brakes with MEST. And that earlier GPM, about the only thing that was causing a great deal of difficulty in running it, was a supreme ARC break with mist, that it would obey people who would do things like this GPM implant. Big ARC break with the fact that mist obey that sort of thing. And an ARC break with the people for debasing and degrading mist to such a usage and end. The items, to hell with it. That wasn't the important thing. The important thing was that anybody would attempt something like this using mist, that mist would have bam, so on. Big ARC break. So there's one even wrapped up in a GPM. The thought that you're trying to get across with your auditing command is you want a time when affinity, reality, and communication have been reduced with other beings, matter, energy, space, time, form, and locations. You don't direct what you're going to get the ARC break about or with. That'll all work out more or less automatically. You simply ask for an ARC break. You don't ask in this lifetime. You don't limit him in time. You hope he'll give you something to at least let you get your teeth into the process and get the process grooved in before you're handling a God help us engram. But you want from the PC a time of that reduction. That is what you want. And that's all you want. And then you want to find out from the PC what it was. This goes into your form, which is still being worked out, but which is more or less grooved in now. The formal steps of R2H done for good gain on the case are what, where, when, and then an assessment. And then cleaning up every line of the assessment when it reads, not going by it. That is a difference. And working the ARC break over until it no longer reads on the meter and the PC feels all right about it, and so forth. Now, the exact way the assessment is done, I'll go over that again. I better go a little bit earlier. The exact way what is done is you take what the PC is willing to tell you without probing. What's this ARC break about? And he'll give you a resume of it. Very brief, usually. Where? Where? That's to help him get the time. See, these are all development of the ARC break so that he can more ably identify it. And then when? Now, this when gets very important. He'll have trouble with the where, but nothing compared to the trouble he may get into with the when. Now, the rule is you use your meter on these three steps only when the last dog has been hanged. You don't date nothing with the meter. Unless the PC is in despair, on the verge of tears about the actual time. And then you chip in at the last moment and you say, so on. Something like this. This meter dating is terribly easy. You know, there's a training version that's to train you to date on a meter. I'm giving you the therapeutic version. This is the way she really rolls. You've been sitting there with a meter in front of you. The PC's been saying, it's 1937. No, it's 1936. No, 1937. No, 1936. No, 1937. No, 1937, I think it was. 38. 38. Maybe it was 38, 39. No, it could have been 1930. I just don't know where. I don't know when it was. 1937. He's already admitted he doesn't know, and your TA action has slowed down to nothing and so forth. And you've watched 1937 bang every time he said it. You said it's 1937, Carpenter. That's your dating step. Got that? D.C. may get into a specialized case sometimes when, if it was in 1937, it would be a terrible ARC break, whereas if it was in 1938, it wouldn't have been a terrible ARC break because something else had happened. So they keep saying it's 1938 when it was 1937. Here's the only other way you go about this. When your tone arm is hung up, you've got a wrong date. And you damn well better find it. Tone arm is hung up. You can't get it moving. Everything is going to the devil and so forth. Well, you just better do a scout for wrong dates. Did we have a wrong date? There's number two that you scout for when the tone arm has stuck. This is repairing it. Number two is you get in your BMRs on the session or the process because the PC has recalled ARC breaks, which he has then suppressed and has not given the auditor. That causes a tone arm hang up. These are the three things that hang up a tone arm. And the PC, ARC breaks in session because of an ARC break in the past. It isn't because you bypassed charge in the session. It's recalled an ARC break in the past, which has given them an ARC break in the session. When you find that, though any one of those three, wrong date, suppressed ARC breaks, or an ARC break in the session because of an ARC break in the past, you've got to remedy the situation. Your tone arm will stick, and the process becomes unworkable. But one of those three things exists. If your tone arm ceases to move on this. The other one that can stop your tone arm from moving is just too corny. You've missed an assessment, you've missed a meter read, and you haven't got the reason of the bypass charge. That's just pretty corny. That's under the heading of meter reading and so forth. The ARC break is always cleaned up to the tremendous satisfaction of the PC. And you're looking on this as something whereby you do an assessment, you say, well, that was the bypass charge, that's it, thank you. Recall another ARC break. That isn't the way it's done. Now let's go into the last end of this thing. You say to the PC, you're doing an assessment, you clear it line by line, just like you used to do old rudiments. If you get a read, you say, that read. You got your PAT assessment sheet. That red. You got a new one. There'll probably even be a different, newer ones developed from time to time. I haven't issued this latest sheet yet. But it's very comparable to the L1 which you've got. It's just a little better. You see that an attitude refused does so. That ticks. You didn't go down the whole thing, see? You just said, right off the bat, you said, all right. In that ARC break, was an attitude refused? Tick. You say, all right, what attitude was refused? And that's the end of your job. It's now up to the itza. That's your whatza. And our PC is going to stem and fuss and stew and try to figure out what attitude was refused where. And the only time it won't come off is when those three things I gave you are out. You've had a wrong date in the session. The PC has recalled some ARC breaks and suppressed them. Or the PC has had an ARC break in the present time in the session. See? And this system doesn't work if those three are present. And if this system doesn't work, those three are present. So you clean this line up, and it's all up to the PC. An attitude refused? I don't think any attitude refused. Attitude refused, and so forth and so on. So, well, I don't think there was one. What do you know? At this point, do you shove it down his throat? You say, no, all right, thank you, and go to the next line. Well, he can't remember it, so obviously the thing needs shaking up some more. But you leave that mark alongside of that thing, because you're going to come back to it. It was hot once. It's going to be hot again. In other words, that just wasn't ready to be answered. That's the only thing you communicate on that. If he can't find it, and he says he can't, that's it. Leave it marked. Don't even say, we'll come back to it later. Say, all right, and go on to the next line. Otherwise, your needle's going to get so dirty you can't assess. It's a highly practical consideration. And you say, all right, was that ARC break caused by a communication ignored? You get down to that line, see, and it goes ping. And you say, all right, I have here the communication was ignored. What communication was ignored? Oh, well. Let's see, it was Bill and me and Pete, and there were three dogs. A spaceship landed. And the dog barked, and we said to hell with it, but if we listened to the dog bark... Yeah, we ignored the dog barking. Yeah. Down comes your toner. You run by blowdowns. Your whole meter action is by blowdowns. Your whole determination is by blowdowns. You find an ARC break for which you get no blowdowns, then you haven't got the cause of the ARC break, and the PC hasn't remembered anything about the ARC break. But just because you get one blowdown doesn't mean that the ARC break is gone. At this point, you say to the PC, how do you feel about that ARC break? And watch it on the meter. The question is asked to the PC and watched on the meter. If you get a rough up of a needle, the slightest reaction of a needle, that ARC break isn't gone. But usually the PC will tell you, well, I don't feel as good about it as I want. Then keep on with your assessment. You understand? But every time you find one and you clear one up, then you ask the PC how he feels about it. PC feels all right and it doesn't bang on the meter, to hell with it. Get off of it, man. That's it. Don't get into a situation where the PC feels perfectly all right about it and you haven't done three quarters of your assessment sheet. So you just go on doggedly doing the remaining three quarters of your assessment sheet. You're now trying to find the bypass charge for an ARC break that doesn't exist. And I can guarantee that you've got the withhold of nothing. The PC hasn't got anything to tell you. So he's going to ARC break. So the other frailty of R2H, much more important than the communication of its auditing command, is that an inexpert handling of R2H can bring about an ARC break. Very interesting. Every time you find a line, you go through the same song and dance. You find a line, you ask him the question, he answers the question, he's got it all to his satisfaction, no matter how long the ITSA line is. But don't expect to do many of these a session, man. You probably won't do more than 3, 4, 5 a session. Boy, the tone arm action you can milk out of that thing. Wham, 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 wham. You can get lots of tone arm action. Why recall 10 and get the same tone arm action as you get recalling 4 and still leave the PC with some missed withholds? You get the idea? So you just want tone arm action out of it, not the number of ARC breaks handled. You're not interested in the number of ARC breaks handled. Just handle those you get well. Every time you find a reason for it, you'll find a tick, and the PC will give you the answer, and you've now got that. Now, you don't even necessarily test that line again. You can drive a PC berserk. He's now satisfied. He's found it, and so forth. Now, you may suspect, from the doubtful nature and the fact you haven't got a blowdown, that there is another tick on the same line. Just say, well, I'll check this line now. In that ARC break was communication ignored. You know, that still reads. Do you suppose you had no any reason why that should still be reading? Well, no, I don't see why it should be reading. Maybe I protested. All right, you protested it. That's all. That's all I wanted to know. Down to the next line. Leave it. You're not going to get any place shoving it down the PC's throat. But every now and then, you say, that line still reads. Oh, it does? Oh, well, wait a minute. It wasn't really the dog communication. I ignored their communication. They told me not to go anywhere near that place, and I did, and I ignored it. Yeah, well, that caused the ARC break with them because they should have told me more loudly. And you'll see your tone arm blow down. You see how it's done? Treat them like end rudiments that you don't care whether they clean up or not. And don't leave an ARC break unless the thing is reading smooth as glass. An ARC break is going to give you blowdowns. Just regard it as a source of getting some blowdowns. And if an ARC break doesn't blow down, you're now going to run into trouble with later ARC breaks. That is the way to forecast trouble. We had ARC break, and then we had another ARC break, and we didn't get any blowdown on either of these ARC breaks. Now, our third ARC break, chances of our getting a blowdown on that. The next thing you know, you're getting in the mid-roots, and the PC's going into an automaticity suppressing ARC breaks, and we've got a sort of a mess on our hands. Why? Because we excited some bypass charge by asking for the ARC break and then didn't clean the bypass charge. Now, the whole basic mechanism on which you're operating here is that incidents will blow if the misaligned or bypass charge is knocked out, and that an ARC break is caused by bypass charge. There is no ARC break without bypass charge, so therefore you must find the bypass charge, and if you do, there won't be any ARC break. And it straightens the bank out, and the guy gets oriented in the middle of his bank, and there you are. It's a terribly permissive process. It depends on the ITSA line. And for that accurate assessment, and then having found what the thing assesses, let the guy run on. And it also depends on not to keep slugging him with assessments for ARC breaks that have cleaned up. It has a frailty. You can get the whole ARC break cleaned up. It doesn't seem hardly worthwhile. And there was a reality rejected, and you got a ping on that. It wasn't a very big ping, and he answered this thing. We asked for the ARC break, and he didn't have much of an ARC break, but now we went on and did the rest of the assessment. Oh, you've got an ARC break now. Why? You've invalidated the reason which he gave for the ARC break. It takes rather delicate, slippy auditing. But with those reservations, it's absolutely terrific. It's a fabulous process. Terribly mild, terribly permissive. I see I've left you hanging on the ropes a little bit. There's probably something you don't understand about the process. But if you just did it like N midroods, which you didn't bother to finish if your PC got bright, then you've got it made. You've got it made. And if you monitor its success by the number of blowdowns which you get, you've also got it made. And when it doesn't blow down, start worrying. And if it is blowing down and the TA is moving and so forth, don't worry. Just sit back and ride your luck. Look for trouble when it comes, not before it gets there. Because it'll carry you through all the way. PC wants to talk to you the whole session about one ARC break, which is giving you tone arm action from 2 to 6.5. You are an absolute nut not to let him. See? It's the amount of tone arm action you can get in the session, up and down, not the number of ARC breaks you cover, because the PC you are auditing is in, after all, present time. He is here. All there is of him is here. He isn't barred out of existence by his bank. And if you discharge all of these cross-bypass charges off of present time, theoretically, you could run him all the way to OT without him ever going backtrack to amount to anyone. He just picks up this item and that incident and that incident and this one and straightens them out, and his pictures are getting better and the track is straightening out. And the next thing you know, he's 8 feet back of his head. Say, what do you want to have done with these between lives, guys? Thank you very much.